That you stand, please, and open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. You should have received an outline. If you did not, raise your hand. I appreciate the good number that's here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 deals with the information we need in regard to the Faith Promise Missions Plan. Probably the majority of this material will not be brand new to anyone that's been around our church for a while, but I think it's good to be reminded of the principles and what we're to do, how we're to do it, and an important aspect to me is why we should do it. Let's begin in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God that's bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to unto us by the will of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for such good attendance tonight and helping us to get ready for the missions conference. I thank you for the message from Brother Sutton this morning about he and his wife praying about our conference and to be used of God in a wonderful way here for our church, for your glory. I thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and especially this opportunity to do our part in world evangelism, that you would do it through us. Help us to be mindful to follow the precepts that you've taught us and see you blessed that we can be fruitful both now and at the judgment seat. Bless the message, each one that's here, for we pray in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Tonight, I want us to look at what is faith promise and in the idea of the giving and in the idea of the commitment. So during the last few weeks, Brother Bob did an excellent job teaching on finances. He used a video. Some of you saw it, some of you didn't see it. You weren't here. So I decided to have Dolly play that again for us. So Dolly, if you would, please. I think it's a nice little video for us to use to get our mindset just a little bit of a object lesson on what faith promise is. Faith, according to the dictionary, is that confidence or trust in a person or thing, a belief that's not based on proof. Hebrews 11:1 says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The promise is a declaration, something will or not be done like you saw on the screen, something that has the effect of an express assurance, indication that of what may be expected, indication of future excellence or achievement, something that is promised. It's something that is prominent in the scriptures because we read about Abraham in Romans 4:20, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. It says, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So, very simply, when we're talking about properly doing faith promise, God holds his part. We just sometimes don't do ours. You know, and I've heard different presentations on faith promise. And I remember hearing one preacher say, you know, you just make a promise and you don't give it till God gives it. And I thought, well, you know, there's a little problem with that. We can run up bills that are stupid. I mean, there's these things called pay-per-view. Now, I like the UFC. Some of you may not know what that is. It's the ultimate fighting championship. It's not phony like the WWE or WWF. I mean, it's down and dirty. And I like to watch people knock themselves out, literally, or knock each other. But man, sometimes, I've never, ever used the pay-per-view. You know, I just wait and it'll come up as a rerun sometime. Down the road, and I watch it for free. or whatever my DirecTV costs. And so, again, if you order two or three pay-per-views and you run up hundreds of dollars and you spend it, okay, that's not God's fault. Or you could talk too long on a telephone or order video games, I guess, whatever you want to do. So how do we do this thing and do it properly? And that's what I want us to look at, because Titus talks about God that cannot lie promised us some things. And, of course, the biggest one's in hope of eternal life. Also, Hebrews says it's that through faith we inherit the promises. And it says there that we be not slothful. I think we take care of missions the way it needs to be taken care of, not be slothful. We take care of God's business. And it says through faith and patience, inherit these promises. And then the aspect of commitment. This is something that seems to be greatly needing in the present generation, the act of committing, pledging, or engaging oneself, a pledge or promise, an obligation, engagement, involvement. In other words, you get involved and you make a commitment, it's to be carried through. We're going to do it. Job 5:8, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. That's what we're doing in faith promise. Unto God we're committing this cause. And Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. We're to trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy works unto the Lord. I've given this to you before. I use this verse for many things. I commit whatever I'm doing to the Lord because I want him to establish my thoughts. Luke 16:11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Guess what unrighteous mammon is? It's money. All right. If you've not been faithful in that, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You see, he that's faithful in little is faithful in much. And that can start with tithing, other offerings, whatever. And in a verse that I truly love about poor, we know that the Lord said, blessed are the poor. Well, in Psalm 10:14, I think it gives us the right definition of the poor. It says, thou seest, thou beholdest mischief spied to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. I love all that last part, but when we're poor in spirit, it means we've committed it all to the Lord. And this thing with faith promise, that's what we do. Now, I want to look at it very practically, very simply. What a faith promise is a method to support world evangelism. So I alliterated it with the P's, number one, to plan. Some will say, well, this is a man-made plan and blah, blah, blah. To some degree, that's relevant. But in 2 Corinthians 9:2, we see here they had a plan. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Now, they had a plan. It was a yearly plan. Achaia is that section in southern Greece where Corinth was. Macedonia was up in the northern part. I probably should have put a map on here, but that's the area where Philippi was. And so when we get in the beginning of this passage, it says there in 8:1, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And this church, Philippi, others perhaps around the region that started churches, they were not rich churches. And this is one of those things that sometimes annoys me with people. Well, Pastor, I just can't afford to tithe. You know the right answer. You can't afford not to tithe. And then there's some partial tithers, and they like to hoodwink maybe themselves. You're not fooling God. Either you do or you don't, and that's just a minimum level. If you're not tithing, you're not really growing very much. So I think entry level, people will finally get the idea, okay, tithing, simple 10%, move the decimal point one place. Yeah, I can figure this out. So when we're looking at the church at Philippi, it talked about their deep poverty. So if there's somebody who couldn't afford to give, it was them. And Paul's commending them because first they gave themselves to God. And people who give themselves first to God are usually apt to be obedient to him. So this is a plan. You see it in verse number 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. The grace he was talking about was giving. This chapter is about the grace of giving. In verse number 9, you see, therefore you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So the Lord is saying, I'm giving myself for God to work through me, that you may be the recipients and be rich. That's what we're doing with Faith Promise. We're allowing ourselves, giving ourselves to God, that he can work through us, that others might be rich. Now, we're not talking about rich missionaries financially. We're talking about spiritual riches. That's exactly what he's talking about in verses 7 and 9. So let's look at three things with this. And then again, I gave you this passage this morning where Jesus says, my Father has sent me, even so send I you. That was fresh on his mind. So not only is it a plan, but three other things. It's a provision. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. This is where I'm not going to take questions tonight, even with our missionaries. You'll have opportunity to talk to them privately so we can keep our services going quickly. But you may have some questions about the mission field and why does a missionary go out and raise support and what do they use it for? I could tell you for the next hour just simple things. And when we moved to Germany, they have 60 hertz instead of 50. They have 220 and 240 instead of 110. What that means is, you know, any appliances you got, you plug them in over there, they're literally toast. And it'll burn them right up. So we got rid of the stuff here. We bought electrical appliances over there. That means everything. Now, military comes over and they can use these little generator things. I forget what we called them. Transformers, thank you. They can buy transformers, and we had a transformer because we had a couple of things that needed it. But the transformers will take the 220 or 110 and transform it to the 220, and you can use some of the American appliances. We tried that with, what was it, your hair curlers? And it said on there that it was for both circuits. They still fried it, still. And it was a brand new set because we bought the dual voltage kind. She used it once and it was gone. So anyway, provision. We go there, we live. A missionary goes to a foreign field, he lives. Whatever you call living. I mean, you might need a refrigerator and a stove, beds. Over there, we learned some things. Those of you that were deployed and you lived off of the military system and you lived out on the economy, like when we moved into our first apartment, there were wires coming out. And we had to, like in the bathroom, buy the little vanity set and wire in the wires and put our own vanity set. In the kitchen, there was no sink. There was, you know, a spigot and place for a drain, and we had to put in the kitchen. And some places, like a couple of the apartments we looked at, they said, yeah, well, we already got the kitchen in here, but you have to buy it. I said, well, how much is it? 10,000 marks. Whoa, 10,000 marks? We're buying your kitchen? Well, what do we do with once we bought it? We want to move out. Well, then you sell it back at a diminished price. And I said, in essence, we're renting it long-term back to you? I mean, Germans, this one guy, we went in, the kitchen wasn't as big as the women's restroom over here. And they said, well, yeah, we had to raise the rent. We know you Americans got a cost of living raise. No, we didn't get a cost of living raise. The American military guys got a cost, they called it COLA, cost of living allowance. But those Germans are smart. They read American papers and says, yeah, you guys got that. And I said, no, we didn't get that. And so they tried to raise the price a little bit for Americans. But we had to find a place to live. Then we had to have the appliances. And then there's a little thing called language school. Do you know language school is not free? And we had to pay for that stuff. There's hospitalization. There's a vehicle. You know, we couldn't afford a brand new vehicle. We bought a used vehicle. And I hate to almost tell you, I bought a Ford. is a German Ford. And then later, I saw the relevance of buying a Volkswagen van because Joey came along and all that. So there's cost. In regard to this, I wasn't there very long, and I had to go before a judge because it was an American military church that was over 100,000 marks in the red. And they were going under, and that was still there. And so I had them sell all their buses and everything that was sellable. We took that in, and I was able. But again, it's providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but in the sight of men. There's utilities, everything for, just like you're doing in America, a missionary has to do it on the field. Third thing here, it's a partnership. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner, fellow helper. There's a partnership between us and the missionary. We looked at that when we went over to the virtuous woman in Proverbs. She goes down and she buys her goods from afar with yoking up with those merchant men. Well, I don't believe everybody in here needs to go to the mission field. I think if you have opportunity to visit, you ought to take that advantage. But we partner with the missionaries to reach and build bridges from Albuquerque to all the world through them. And I like the D aspect, which comes again from 2 Corinthians 9:2. It's a provocation. It says, your zeal hath provoked many. He's bragging to them about how he's used them to brag to others. You know, I may be able to do that a little bit in New York. I don't know what they're giving in New York. I know they've been taught through the years from Pastor Ebersold. But when I can say, look, we average about 120, 130 on a Sunday, and our church promised to give over 82,000. We're about 3,000 short. I would encourage you, if there's been some weeks that you got behind, just like you would a JCPenney or Bank AmeriCard or the bank, make it up and let's fulfill what we promised. God is faithful. And so I think it'd be great if we're over that 80,000 mark come next Sunday when we get, you know, the totals and the promise for the next year. So again, it's provoking zeal to good things. Look, if they were so poor in Macedonia and they could do it, then okay, you guys are a good example to them. And it's provoked others. Second thing, faith promises a means of grace for souls in world evangelism. Now, we started out with the part of a power in verse 3. For to their power I bear record, and be yea, and beyond their power, they were willing themselves, praying us to receive the gift, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and us by the will of God. We'll look at this in just a moment about how to do faith promise. I covered this morning. We understand when we're doing a spiritual operation, it's not by fleshly reasoning. To do this properly, you don't just sit down with your checkbook and you look at your budget. Okay, we got this income, we got that outgo. I know we got some going over here in savings and some investments, as Brother Bob was talking about perhaps. But when you do faith promise, that goes out the window. Faith promise is where you're praying and giving yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to work through me, laying them out on my heart, whether it's under a dollar or over $100. You pray of what you can trust God by faith that he's laid on your heart to give toward missions, and then you take care of it. That's the second thing here. That's the performance. Notice in verse 11, now therefore, perform the doing of it, as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Verse 12 goes on to say, first is their willing mind, it's accepted according to the man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, this is that part I mentioned earlier. I've heard preachers say, well, you get the hold of God, God lays an amount, and you wait till God gives it, and then you give it. Well, there's not a whole lot of faith in that if you're waiting for God to give it to you. The way that Teresa and I have done this for many years, we have an amount the Lord lays on our heart. We'll turn it, put it on the card, turn it in, so it's helping the budgeting process. But then we'll write out a check, and we'll include above our tithes and offerings that amount. And then we trust that the Lord will give it to us, and He always has. It's been varying amounts over the years. God knows what we needed to do, and we tried to do what He wanted us to do, but it was not budgeting. It was not waiting. If you remember Terry Rao being here, I don't know if it was last year, a couple years ago, he talked about ship giving, when your ship comes in. There's a lot of people, when my ship comes in, then I'll give. No, if they're not giving now, they won't give when the ship comes in. And the problem about that ship, for many of us, it's already been sunk. And it's not coming in. But I want you to notice that phrase, according to that a man hath. All right, let me give you one simple illustration. There's this large crowd, 5,000 people, men, besides women and children. The Lord tells the disciples, I want you to feed them. How are we going to feed them? Well, we can't go buy it. And so the Lord said, and the Bible says, He knew what He was going to do before He ever told him to feed these 5,000. So one of them comes up and said, Lord, we found this little boy, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. But what's that among all these? Look, when the Lord's in it, it's all you need. But let me ask you this. Did they require the little boy to give 6 fishes? 10 fishes? 10 loaves of bread? No, it's 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He gave out of what he had. Now, the Bible doesn't say that's all the possessions that little boy ever had. That meant that day, maybe his mom fixed him a little lunch and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know. But he gave of what he had. And in the scriptures, that's the way it always is when somebody's given to the Lord. So here's how we need to do faith promise. I'd like for you to get these down. I hope I left it on. Did I put it on your outline? Number one, we pray, asking the Lord to lay on our hearts the amount for us to trust Him, for us to give. All right, so take this home. Pray every day, asking the Lord to lay it upon your hearts. Then once He does, trust the answer of the amount to give weekly, that it's God's will. This is between you and God. Nobody tells you. You don't have to sign a pledge and have somebody like Fran call you up. Well, according to your pledge, you're behind on your pledges. Not that she would do that if we had pledges, but we don't have pledges. I remember a couple got saved in New York. Lord willing, I'll see them in a couple weeks. And she called me one day and she said, Pastor, I got a little problem. I said, what's that? She said, I got a phone call from the church because, you know, we have to make these yearly pledges and they're dunning me. So we had a little discussion about giving to an ungodly church anything and about the pledges and all that. We're not pledging. This is totally private between you and the Lord. We'll give out some faith promise cards so you can record it, tear it off, but you don't put a name on it. It's private. So you pray, you trust the Lord, then the next, we do our part. We give by faith of what we have to the Lord via the church. This is a letter to the church at Corinth. He talked about it to the church at Philippi. And even there, in the last chapter, he talked about fruit that may abound in our account. He didn't care about money. He was concerned about the fruit. And he was praising the church at Philippi, how they sent to him not only once, but time and again in his need. The next part, the Lord is true and faithful. And we trust His faithfulness, that He will do His part. The power for us to perform the doing of it is by the grace of God. When everything is said and done, if we do faith promise correctly, it's God that gets the glory for what He has done through us. And Brother Bob, when I saw that little video that you showed, I thought, wow, I got to go check out these YouTube videos about faith promise. I believe that's the best one I saw. And I saw a bunch of them. Very simplistic about what the Lord can do. That takes us to the third thing. Faith promise is motivated by glorifying the Savior via the world evangelism. I alluded to it just a moment ago when we do this right, but here's a part of the motivation that I believe is so important because the Bible calls it a proof. In 2 Corinthians 8:8, he's talking to them, and he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Later in verse 24, wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. So he's saying, look, I have boasted about you guys. But he says, it's not just about the amount, it's about the proof of your love. This is maybe not a very spiritual cliche, but when I was growing up, I heard some of the local people say, talk's cheap. It takes money to buy whiskey. Now, I'm not advocating, don't anybody go out here and say, oh, pastor says it's okay to buy whiskey. No, no, no. It just means talk's cheap, actions speak louder. You can talk about, well, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to witness, I'm going to never miss church, well, your actions speak louder. So this is the idea. What you're giving is a proof of your love. And when it comes to the subject of giving, those of you that have been around here a long time, you know I don't harp on the giving thing. I try to harp on the heart. I believe if the heart is right, the wallet will be right too. Because we have a purpose. And this is the last thing. 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. The world will talk about karma. Oh, well, that's just karma. They got what they deserved. Well, I don't care much for karma because of its source. I care for principles like Galatians chapter 5. As you sow, so shall you reap. Well, here the Lord says, well, if you sow sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. And it says bountifully, bountifully. But verse 7 is the key. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Our purpose should be to honor and glorify the Lord, that we can build bridges in Korea, in Germany, in Argentina. From Albuquerque to those places, we build those bridges by our missionaries. I rejoice seeing where our missionaries are. I believe it was under Queen Victoria, I believe, or it could have been Elizabeth. It seemed to me like Victoria, but they said this, because England had Canada, Australia, and some places in Africa. It says, the sun never sets on the British kingdom. All around the globe, there's always the sun shining somewhere on a property of Great Britain at the time, United Kingdom. Well, how about us? I think that the sun never sets on our ministry around the globe. You know, right now, I'd have to look at my phone, it's in the office, but they're 6 or 8 hours behind or ahead of us in Germany. All right, so we can go a little further to the east. We've got, or maybe I should go to the west. You know, we've got Brother Ray Redman in Korea. We've got Brother Dubish over in India. We've got Fiji with, what's his name? Brother Mears, Corey Mears. We've got missionaries in China. We've got missionaries, again, over in Europe, South America. I think that the sun never sets on our ministry. I think that's wonderful. And so as we give, then it's, we're concerned about this purpose, that God's being glorified all over the world. Now, I want to go down to verse number 8. We just read 6 and 7. Verse number 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So there's that grace again being brought up, the grace of giving. It's something that God allows us to do spiritually by faith, trusting in him. From giving our tithes to giving our offerings and giving, of course, to missions. But he says having all sufficiency. So if we do this right, we should have sufficiency. But we should be doing it that we can abound in good works, because one of these days we're going to be judged for that. 1 Corinthians 15:58, same church. he admonishes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And then in Hebrews 10:23, very simply, it says, "Let us hold the profession of our faith." Faith promise is a profession of our faith. Now, I know it's talking about salvation, but this is also, notice again how the promise is in there. "For he is faithful that promised." So we take care of giving a promise based on what we believe God's laid upon our heart. We pray, we ask the Lord to help us by his grace. Brother Bob brought all those issues about finances to help us to know how to get out of debt, how to be financially strengthened so that we can do more for the Lord. And again, the Bible's not against us taking care of ourselves, our shelter, our food, those necessities. And the Bible calls that supplications. We pray for the supplies that we need. But once we have those, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," all those things are added to you. God has given almost every American, I'd say, more than they need. I was talking to some person not long ago who's been out of the country. And very humbly they said to me, "You know, I wish Americans really knew what the rest of the world is like. You know, whether it's in the poverty of India or whether it's Africa or wherever it may be, the people in our country that are on welfare are in far better shape than those poor countries in Southeast Asia, other places. We have so much. But let's narrow it down to those of us that have jobs, good health. How much has God given us that's not only for our necessities, but perhaps to be used for his kingdom in other capacities, for his work? And this is where we learn to take care of our finances, and faith promises by faith. Like for every head bowed, every eye closed. Message is short tonight on purpose. I want you to be able to savor the principles, chew on them a little bit. If you have questions, this next week, try not to miss a night of our Faith Promise Conference. It will not just be preaching upon money. It'll be preaching the Word of God with other passages that will perhaps apply toward faith promise. But there may be something in there that will answer a question you have about giving by faith toward missions, or some other questions you have about missions in general. Why should we be involved? I shared with you this morning statistics that if we could just get every born-again believer to witness and win one soul, we could win the whole world to Christ. If everybody did that, at least that number, in as little as 43 years. We just need to be faithful, that's all. Father, speak to every heart, every need, for your honor, your glory, for your blessings upon our church. Father, our teachers have taught for several weeks about the principle of missions, why we should be involved, how we should be involved. And for this next several days, may our hearts be tender, submissive. We truly seek and ask your will. What would you have us do? Father, I pray that you might work through our church to send more young men, ladies, to mission fields, that we could be honored to train them. Lord, I pray your will be done through our church for your glory. In Christ's name we ask, amen.